Welcome to Click Through, where we explore the intersection of innovation, government, and mission-driven technology. In this episode, we're pulling back the curtain on a powerful catalyst for government innovation, hackathons. We're joined by leaders from NDIA and Maximus, two organizations working together to bring tech innovation to the front lines of defense strategy. You'll hear why hackathons aren't just for coders, how they're changing the rules of engagement between government and industry, and what this means for the future of defense innovation. Joining us is Dr. Arun Serafin, Executive Director of the Emerging Technologies Institute at NDIA, and Derek Pledger, Chief Digital and Information Officer at Maximus. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
So before we dive in, Dr. Serafin, for our listeners who might not be familiar with the National Defense Industrial Association, or NDIA, and the work that you do, can you just share a brief overview?
Yeah, thanks, Hillary. So the National Defense Industrial Association, NDIA, is the world's largest defense trade association. We've got over 1,700 members, ranging from big guys, think Lockheed Martin and Boeing and Anduril and Palantir, to lots of small companies and medium-sized companies like Maximus, for example, but ranging down deep into the supply chain and all the way to universities and government labs. On top of all those corporate members, we've got 50,000 plus individual members, 10% of which are government employees. And the work NDIA does is to serve as a place where government and industry can work together to establish new and better kinds of partnerships. And we do that through convening events like the conference that we're going to talk about, and also through workshops and webinars and the work of our technical divisions, all with the point of trying to decide and help the government and industry create the industrial base that we need in the future. NDIA is a 100-year-old organization, and in the midst of all that, my group, the Emerging Technologies Institute, was stood up to really focus down on the conversation that's really been driving Washington a lot these days. How are emerging technologies like AI and data analytics and hypersonics and biotech shaping the future of national defense? And what we're trying to do is, in the same kind of style, through workshops and webinars, and I even have my own podcast, Hillary, Emerging Tech Horizons, please like and subscribe. How can we shape that conversation so that we're developing the best technologies and delivering them as quickly as possible and shaping the policy and business environment so it makes sense from the industry side as well?
As part of the shaping conversations, there's obviously a lot of urgency and conversations around innovation. And Arun, in defense innovation, why are hackathons a priority for NDIA today, Arun?
Yeah, you're right. You know, NDIA is a 100-year-old organization, but the pace at which technology is moving now is very different than anything we've ever seen in the past. There's an urgency in defense innovation because of the speed at which the commercial sector is deploying technologies that are important for defense. There's an urgency because of the speed at which our competitors, think China, for example, is moving with some of these technologies. And so the Defense Department and industry is trying to figure out ways to bring in the best solvers that we can find and partner them with people who can manufacture and deliver defense systems with the actual buyers on the government side and the users, the actual warfighters. And so this is why the partnership with Maximus to use the hackathon to try to shape that conversation is so important, because a hackathon, and this is our first foray into something like this at NDIA, seems to us like the best way to bring all those communities together and put them in this kind of unconstrained environment to deliver things more quickly. And we're trying to get to the point where good ideas shaped by real operational problems can then be turned into products which can be delivered more quickly to the users.
And Derek, I want to hear from you. Why do you think now is the right time to create this structured space for the public-private experimentation or the unconstrained environment that Arun just commented on?
Yeah, sure thing. I think Arun hit on multiple salient points, so some of which I probably will reiterate a bit. But I think, by and large, these are events are part of a broader defense strategy, and it's really about creating a safe space, a structured collaboration space between government and industry, which is, in my view, it's needed now more than ever. If you think about the geopolitical landscape, it's becoming increasingly more dangerous. We have strategic competitors that Arun already mentioned, Russia, China, and to a lesser extent, you can think North Korea, Iran, which are beginning to set foundations for more collaboration between those countries, which creates more significant threats for us. So hackathons are this construct. We can use this as a way for industry to be able to innovate with government with more speed and in a very deliberate manner, focused on use cases that may be some vexing problems that are happening across the force and things not at the strategic level, but both at the tactical level. For a long time, we were always focused on, this whole idea of strategic competition and, where is, China going to be in 10 years or where our competitors are going to be years from now. But we have things that the pace of technology change is happening so quickly, we have to be able to address things at speed, at pace. Some of the things that we've touched on before. So I think hackathons are a good way to give industry the opportunity to demonstrate their capabilities in real time, focus on government use cases, which I think is incredibly important because we don't have 12 to 18 months to bring new capabilities to the battlefield. We need to be able to do that in minutes, days, hours, as opposed to taking 2 years to get something fielded.
And to Derek's point, the hackathon that Maximus and NDI are putting together here, which is going to run August 25th, through 29th, the end of this summer, at George Mason University and the DC Convention Center, is an example of what he's talking about. Maximus and NDIA are connecting with both the technology solving community. So this is think people in industry and small businesses and big businesses and universities, but tying them to real world operational problems through our connections with places like CENTCOM and UCOM and AFRICOM, as well as the military services, think Air Force and Navy, but of course, the Chief Digital and AI Office within the Pentagon as well. And so the hackathon that Maximus's platform allows us to then put together ties together all those different groups, and hopefully at the end of this, and I trust the platform and the solvers do deliver some real world solutions that then the operational and acquisition community can grab hold of. And what we're hoping to accomplish in that week in August is kind of expose new people to some existing problems and expose some people with problems to a whole new set of solvers.
So is this that kind of point of view of the valley of death where good ideas go to die in government? Is this the hackathon of trying to get those good ideas across that valley of death, getting them more into the openness, getting more eyes across government into the possibility of what may come as a result?
Sure thing. I can touch on that. The valley of death is something that that term is ubiquitous across the defense industrial base, because there are a lot of times when industry or government, think agencies like DARPA or IARPA, will build a capability without having the sort of the perspectives or sensitivity. These are folks that are operational, and Arun spoke about this. And you can spend 2 years building something, and then the applicability of that capability in a real world scenario will be OBE by the time that you actually field it. So I lived that personally. So when I think about hackathons, it's not just you get a bunch of smart people, a bunch of big brain engineers to get into room to solve some problems, some of which may be a technology problem, could be an operational problem, it could be a warfighting problem. These things that we're talking about and getting all these folks in a room, they have real implication, real secondary and tertiary effects for warfighters. for me personally, you know, I spent time in Iraq and in Afghanistan in uniform, and there are so many challenges that we would bring to leadership. And by the time a new capability was fielded to be able to address that, there's already new challenges on a battlefield that makes that one something that we're not worried about anymore. Cycle of, you know, taking, you know, 12 months or 18 months or 15 months to field capability, we no longer live in that space. We have to be able to innovate and integrate at pace, at speed, such that if, you know, we're in PACOM and we're in a conflict with China, or if we're in the Middle East, like we have to be able to take requirements from the field, get that into an innovation ecosystem and deploy capability. And that is going to require that acquisition. Arun talked about that. It requires that requirements. It requires that operational folks are all at the same table. So a hackathon is just sort of a microcosm of what the larger construct needs to be able to look like across the force. But I think if we get hackathons right, we demonstrate the efficacy of taking in new requirements, building out capability, and then showing how it could be fielded across the force. I think that'll make us all better. And it's going to take organizations like NDIA, you know, Maximus, other folks across the DIB, but also the acquisition community across the force to be able to get this right. Because getting this wrong has real world implications for the United States in terms of national security.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, I've been working on this Valley of Death issue for 20 years on the Hill. Trying to write clever laws to make it go faster over and over and over again. And in the end, you know, you end up with these optimized separate processes, right? Technology development and then acquisition and then requirements and then use. And they all are what we cutely call cylinders of excellence, right? That they're just like completely isolated from each other, but trying their best. The hackathon cuts through that by bringing all these people together. And I think especially with NDIA's traditional way of connecting with the acquisition community, I think what you'll see in this hackathon is a lot more acquisition people who might be there to pick up some of these possible solutions, right? I think because of the heavy involvement of UCOM and AFRICOM, you'll actually see people with ideas starting to shape requirements, like Derek said. And when you start shaping requirements, then you turn on that magical Pentagon money moving budget system, and then you actually can start funding the ideas that are coming out of this. And so we've tried, and I've tried, and I've written all kinds of clever laws. The hackathon is now a different, that's sort of the next logical step in what we've tried with prizes and challenge.gov and OTs and things like that. How do you bring these communities together and feed into their processes the possibilities and the problems and the new ideas? And we're hoping some of that comes out of these kinds of events.
My question for both of you is, what do you see success for the teams participating? What would make teams successful in participating in a hackathon?
We talked about a little bit of this, both Arun and I, but I think if I were to be looking at an outcome at the top level, what's really important is just for industry and defense organizations on the government side to buy in to this construct as a hackathon, as a way, as a mechanism, as a vehicle to be able to both drive scale and innovate with speed, right? So all of us have the same goal, and that really is to prepare the force for both intelligence, informational, strategic, and tactical dominance. Like that's our goal. And it's going to take all of us to be able to put us in a position where we can defend this nation and go on offense to mitigate threats. But I think by and large, the way that we live in a wonderful democracy. And when you live in a democracy, your incentive structures are very different. So if you think on the industry side of things, the incentive structures that a Maximus or a Lockheed Martin or a Leidos or a Raytheon are governed by is typically profit and shareholder value, right? The objective is to, you know, serve the nation, but also to serve shareholders. And that comes down to money. And you know, other folks in terms of strategic competition that we're up against, those incentive structures are a bit different. They're more vertically integrated. So if you think about China, what Xi Jinping says that goes, right? It's a vertically integrated state where you have academia, you have the government, you have the military industrial base, and you also have corporations that act at the behest of one person. We don't have that construct here, and we have a phenomenal system of government. But in that, I think we need to find ways that we can collaborate such that we can move at the same pace and speed, but that a country that's vertically integrated, they can move at a faster pace because they don't have some of the same institutional or structural challenges that we do here, because on the field of battle, and I know this from experience, it doesn't matter if you have, fire superiority or weapon superiority. If it takes you 30 minutes to be able to go through the intelligence preparation cycle to make a fire decision, but it takes your competitor who has less, weapon sophistication, but they can do a strike in 15 minutes, you still lose. So I think it's really important for us to be able to, work with, organizations like NDIA, who are at the center of gravity of a lot of these moving parts between government and industry, to make sure that even though we're not vertically integrated, we can still operate as if we are, where we're all trying to save or address specific problem sets that are vexing across the force. So for me, it's really about just setting us on a pathway that industry, the government, can agree that this is so important for us to get right, so we can move at the pace we need to defend the nation. Over to Arun. I know that was a long, drawn-out answer, but it was really, really something that's important.
I agree with what Derek said. I think from my perspective, success, one, will be me surviving the planning and execution of this thing. It's amazing. We used to always talk about the hay truck, that's the Pentagon's acquisition process, and the sports car, that's the innovation community, and trying to get them to move at exactly the same speed so you could hand something between the two. This is a clear example, and I think walking away from this, just demonstrating to the community that hackathons like this have something to constructively contribute to addressing requirements and delivering things through the acquisition system, I think that would be a big win for me. From the sort of the traditional NDIA side of the house, I hope people walk away with an understanding of the value of tapping into this new, call it non-traditional innovation community, whether they're coming from small businesses that we never heard of, or even the university community, or they're currently wearing uniforms, or they're already civilians in government, but they joined some of these teams and they brought some skills that you normally wouldn't find if you just looked in the usual places in the defense industrial base. So I hope there's some understanding that this is a different way to do legalistically kind of market research, or understanding what the state of play is in technology. I think if we can do a good job, which honestly we haven't done yet with the technology prize community, of connecting the hackathons with the real acquisition community and saying, okay, this has been demonstrated to this point. Now, how do I get it into the acquisition pipeline? That, I think, would be a great benefit. And I think NDIA's reach can really help with that as well. And part of that is, I hope to walk away with some of the primes who routinely walk around our events, showing up and saying, I see something here that can be integrated into a system I'm already working on, or I'm already maintaining in the field. And I wouldn't have normally found this in my own lab or in my own set of suppliers. And I'm it's an NDIA event, so you're going to have the big guys all there, right? I hope they're going to walk away with stuff as well. I think the other piece is for the hackathon community, welcome to the NDIA event, right? So this is hackathon's one thing that's going on. There's a keynote stage with undersecretaries and four stars and CEOs up there. Go over there and see what else is going on in defense. There's 8 breakout rooms, including a classified breakout room going on, where people are going to be talking about data analytics and the latest in science and technology and cybersecurity at the technical level and all kinds of things. There's a whole section where UCOM and AFRICOM are going to talk about their problems and how they're trying to move technology. The hackathon community that comes to an event like this, it's their way of seeing what else is going on in defense and in defense industry, and maybe find new partners or new challenges to take up. So I'm hoping that we walk away with a way to connect all of these different groups. Like Derek said, we have a system where all these different sectors are innovating. And like my boss, David Norquist, says, we're never going to out-central plan China. So we have to figure out a way to sort of let all these people do what they do well and keep doing it and give them the incentives to do it, but somehow connect them together. And I'm hoping the hackathon kind of pieces that together.
Well, I want to thank you both for sharing your insights today. If you're curious to learn more, get involved, or participate in the upcoming event, which is August 25th to August 29th, you can visit hackathon.ndia.org or maximus.com for more information. This podcast was produced by Government Technology Insider and sponsored by Maximus.